Ever find yourself like scrolling through the news on your
And
phone?
you're like, how does this app know what I want to read? It's
Right.
all powered by AI, right?
Yeah.
But here's the catch
Sorry.
that AI often relies on these like massive amounts of data,
Yeah.
and not all languages have that luxury.
That's exactly the challenge we're diving into today.
Okay.
The world of low-resource languages in the age of AI. We've got this fascinating research paper from the Journal of the Digital Humanities Association of Southern Africa
Okay.
that tackles this head-on,
Okay.
looking at Zulu and Siswati.
Okay, before we get too technical,
Sure.
help me understand this.
Yeah.
Why those languages specifically?
It's a great question.
Yeah.
And it gets to like the heart of the issue. Imagine trying to teach a computer to understand a language like, say, English. You've
Well.
got books, websites, social media posts,
Right.
endless data to work with.
Yeah.
But for many languages around the world,
Yeah.
those digital resources are very, very
Yeah.
scarce. So that's where isiZulu and Siswati come in.
Yeah.
They're examples of languages facing this very challenge.
So, like, if you only had a handful of cookbooks,
Right.
you couldn't expect to be like a master chef, right? You
So
need that like wealth of knowledge to pull
you
from.
need those recipes. You
Yeah.
need that. Yeah, precisely.
Yeah.
And without those rich digital libraries,
Yeah.
AI struggles to learn the nuances of a language, which has huge implications for things like machine translation,
Right.
chatbots, even something as simple as categorizing news articles by topic.
Which is what this research actually dove into,
Yeah.
right? They wanted to see how well AI could analyze news in isiZulu and Siswati,
That's right.
even with limited data. Okay.
Yeah.
Tell me they at least had like decent sized news archives to work with.
That's where it gets really interesting.
Okay.
For isiZulu, they had both full articles and just the headlines.
Okay.
But for Siswati,
Yeah.
it was only headlines,
Oh, wow.
which, as you can imagine,
Yeah.
presents a huge hurdle for the AI.
Yeah.
It's like trying to understand a story from just the chapter titles.
Right, like you're really gonna get the full picture from that.
Exactly.
Talk about a challenge.
Yeah.
Yeah. So how did the AI do in this like linguistic obstacle course?
Any big surprises?
Well, for siZulu,
Yeah.
the researchers found that when they fed the AI
Ah.
those longer full article texts,
Right.
the accuracy of the categorization shot up to 83%,
Wow.
which is incredible.
83%.
83%, that's right.
So context is king, even for AI.
It seems so.
Give it more information, it can like connect the dots more effectively. But
Exactly.
I'm guessing those isiZulu headlines were a tougher nut to crack.
You're right.
Yeah.
The accuracy for those shorter snippets topped out at around 72%,
Okay.
even with the same AI model.
Interesting.
So it really highlights how much those subtle cues and connections within an article
Right.
help the AI make sense of things.
Okay.
Now, Siswati, that's the one I'm like really curious about.
Okay.
Only headlines to work with. Did the AI just like throw its metaphorical hands up in defeat?
Actually, this is where the researchers got really creative.
Okay.
They used a technique called data augmentation,
Okay.
where the AI essentially learns to create more data
What?
by analyzing patterns in the existing data.
Hold on, the AI is making more beta.
That's right.
That sounds like some like serious sci-fi stuff.
It's pretty wild.
It actually work.
It did.
Wow.
By augmenting that limited Siswati data, they were able to boost the accuracy of their AI model up to a remarkable 87%.
Get out.
That's right.
Wow, 87%
Even
accuracy.
with just headlines.
So this data augmentation,
Yeah.
is this like a potential game changer for low resource
It
languages?
has enormous potential.
Wow.
It's like giving researchers and linguists a powerful new tool to level the playing field, even when they're working with limited resources.
Okay, before we get ahead of ourselves
You're.
and start planning a ticker tape parade for this data augmenting AI.
Let's step back for a second
Yeah.
and break down what they were actually doing with this news categorization.
Yeah.
What like specific types of AI models were they using?
They experimented with several,
Okay.
but the real star of the show,
Where?
the one that consistently delivered those impressive results,
Okay.
is called LSTM.
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 Got it.
Now, for those of us who haven't dedicated our lives to the intricacies of AI,
Sure.
what is that?
Some secret code?
Not quite a secret code,
Okay.
but it stands for long short-term memory.
Okay.
Don't let the name intimidate you.
Okay.
It's basically a type of artificial neural network. designed to analyze sequences of data.
Okay.
Like the words in a sentence or a news article.
Okay.
And understand how they relate to each other.
Okay, so this LSTM,
yeah,
it's particularly good at like
spotting those connections and patterns.
Yes.
That help it categorize information.
Exactly.
Kind of like how our brains work, but in a more like artificial way.
Exactly.
I'm guessing.
Precisely.
Okay.
And what makes it so effective for low resource languages,
yeah,
is its ability to learn from smaller data sets.
Exactly.
Because every little clue counts when you don't have like mountains of data to work with.
Precisely. So they're using this LSTM model. They've got their data, both the like original and the augmented versions.
Right.
And they're trying to figure out if a news article is about what...
Politics, sports, entertainment.
Exactly. Oh. Think of it like teaching the AI to sort news articles into the right bins.
Right.
Just like you'd organize your inbox or your files.
Okay, so we've got our players and our playing field.
Yes.
But how do you actually teach an AI to make sense of language in the first place?
Right.
It's not like you can just like open a dictionary and start memorizing definitions.
Right.
It's not that simple.
It's definitely more complex.
So how does this AI actually like learn a language?
So that's where things get really, really fascinating.
Okay.
One of the key tools researchers use is called word embeddings.
Okay.
Imagine you're teaching a child about animals.
Okay.
You wouldn't just point at a picture of a cat and say, cat. You'd explain that it's a furry animal with four legs that meows.
You give it, like, context, right?
That's exact.
Help it see how cat fits into, like, the bigger picture for the animal kingdom.
That's a great way to put it.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what word embeddings do for AI.
Okay.
They help it understand the meaning of words, not in isolation.
Right.
But in relation to other words.
Okay.
It's like giving the AI a map of the language.
Okay.
Where words that are similar in meaning are clustered closer together.
So instead of just like memorizing definitions,
right,
the AI starts to see those like
connections and associations.
Yes.
Between words. It's kind of like how our brains work, but in a more like mathematical way.
Precisely.
Yeah.
And there are different ways to create these word embeddings, each with its own strengths and weaknesses.
Okay.
The researchers in this study tested out three popular methods.
Okay.
Bag of words, TEFIDF.
Okay.
And the more advanced word to VEC.
Okay, let's break those down because I'm already feeling a little lost in the like jargon jungle here.
It can get a little dense.
Yeah.
So bag of words is the simplest approach.
Okay.
Imagine taking all the words in an article and throwing them into a bag.
Okay.
You don't care about the order, just how many times each one appears.
So if a news article mentions like election 10 times.
Right.
And sports. Once,
yeah.
The AI might just assume it's about politics.
That's the gist of it.
Seems a bit basic.
It is basic, but you'd be surprised how effective it can be for certain tasks.
Okay.
But we have TEFIDF, which stands for Term Frequency Inverse Document Frequency.
Okay.
This one tries to identify the most important words in a document.
Okay.
By considering both how often they appear within that document and how rare they are across a larger collection of documents.
Okay, so it's looking for those like standout words that really define what a document is about.
You got it.
Okay, what about
the other one? Word to something.
Word to VEC.
Word to VEC.
Think of it as like bag of words on steroids.
Okay.
It uses a neural network.
Okay.
Which is a type of AI that learns patterns by analyzing data.
Right.
To create those word maps we were talking about earlier.
So this word to VEC is like the AI equivalent of that friend who always seems to know.
The perfect word to use in any situation.
You nailed it. It's the most sophisticated of the three.
Okay.
And often leads to the most accurate results.
Cool.
Especially for tasks like news categorization.
Okay. So they've got their AI models.
Yeah.
They've got their word embeddings.
Time to let the games begin.
Let's do it.
Which word embedding technique?
Reigns supreme in the world of isiZulu and Siswati.
Drumroll.
It turns out that word to VEC consistently outperformed the other two.
Interesting.
It seems that for these low resource languages, having those richer, more nuanced word representations was absolutely crucial for the AI to accurately categorize the news articles.
Makes sense. It's like the difference between
having
like a basic vocabulary and truly like understanding the subtle shades of meaning in a language.
Precisely. And it highlights a crucial point.
Okay.
Simply replicating approaches that work well for languages like English,
right,
where data is abundant,
right,
might not be the best strategy for low-resource languages.
Okay.
We need to tailor our approach using the right tools for the job.
So this research is about more than just teaching AI to read the news in different languages.
That's right.
It's about, like, making sure everyone has a voice in the digital age, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And it raises some important ethical considerations.
Okay.
For too long, advancements in AI have primarily benefited speakers of high-resource languages,
right,
which can exacerbate existing inequalities.
It's like having a whole segment of the population left out of the digital conversation simply because they speak a language.
Yep.
That hasn't been prioritized by the tech industry.
Exactly. Yeah. And it's not just about access to information.
Right.
It's about representation. If we want AI systems that reflect the full diversity of human language and culture, we need to invest in research and development for low-resource languages.
Because languages aren't just tools for communication.
That's right.
They shape our thoughts, our cultures, our identities.
They do.
Losing a language isn't like losing a word. It's like losing a whole...
That's beautifully said.
...way of seeing the world.
And this research shows us that even small steps...
Yeah.
...like... developing effective AI tools for news categorization in low-resource languages can have a huge impact.
It's a reminder that technology can be a powerful force for inclusion.
It can.
When we prioritize diversity and accessibility from the start.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And it underscores the importance of collaboration between linguists, computer scientists, and native speakers.
Right.
It's when we bring together these different perspectives that we can create truly innovative and inclusive solutions.
Speaking of solutions, this... this data augmentation technique, it sounds like incredibly promising.
It does.
But you mentioned earlier that, like, it's not
a magic bullet.
Right.
What are some of the challenges and limitations we need to be aware of?
You're right. It's not a cure-all.
Okay.
One challenge is that the effectiveness of data augmentation depends heavily on the quality and diversity of the original data.
Okay.
If you start with a small and biased data set, even the most sophisticated augmentation techniques will only amplify those biases.
So garbage in, potentially even more garbage out.
Essentially.
Okay.
Another consideration is that
while
data augmentation can help us stretch our existing data further, it can't replace the need for more data collection and annotation in low-resource languages.
Because ultimately, like, nothing can replace the...
richness and depth of human language.
Exactly.
Right.
And that's why it's so important for us to invest in the human side of this equation.
Okay.
Training more linguists, supporting language documentation efforts, and ensuring that native speakers are actively involved in the development of these technologies.
It's about recognizing that technology should, like, empower and amplify human voices.
Yes.
Not replace or diminish them.
Absolutely. Right. And that brings us back to the broader implications of this research.
Yeah.
It's about more than just technical advancements.
Right.
It's about building a future where technology bridges divides instead of widening them.
It's about making sure that everyone, regardless of what language they speak, has the opportunity to participate in and contribute to the digital world.
Precisely.
Yeah.
This research focused on Zulu and Siswati, but this issue of, like, language bias in AI is much bigger than any two languages.
It is.
What other languages or regions face similar challenges?
And what steps are being taken to address those?
It feels like we're just, like, scratching the surface here.
Yeah.
Which I guess is the point of a deep dive, right?
That's right.
So many languages, so many stories.
Yeah.
What other linguistic landscapes are out there that are...
like, craving this kind of attention?
Oh, it's everywhere, you know?
Yeah.
You look at indigenous languages across the Americas, Australia, even parts of Europe.
Right.
They're facing immense pressure from dominant languages.
Yeah.
And that lack of digital resources just kind of amplifies that.
It's almost like being caught in a vicious cycle, right?
Exactly.
Fewer resources lead to less visibility online.
Yeah.
Which makes it harder to attract, like...
funding and support.
Absolutely.
For revitalization efforts.
Which is a shame because there are some really cool things happening.
Yeah.
People are starting to pay attention.
Okay.
There are initiatives like the Universal Language Model Project.
Okay.
Which aims to develop AI models that can work with thousands of languages.
Wow.
Not just a privileged few.
That sounds incredibly ambitious.
It is.
What does that kind of like large-scale effort
even look like?
It's a massive undertaking.
Yeah.
It requires global collaboration.
Okay.
Researchers are developing new algorithms. They're gathering these diverse data sets.
Yeah.
And they're working directly with language communities to make sure that these technologies are designed with their needs and their values in mind.
It's about making sure those communities have a seat at the table.
Yes.
Not just having like technology imposed upon them.
Precisely.
Yeah.
And that's, I think, where this research on Odyssey Zulu and Siswati offers like a really powerful model for the future.
Okay.
It's not just about the technical achievements.
Right.
It's about that collaborative spirit.
Right.
The focus on those local needs and the recognition that language is about so much more than just words on a screen.
It's about preserving cultures, bridging divides.
Absolutely.
And ensuring that everyone has a voice
yeah.
in our like increasingly digital world. Right?
Beautifully put.
Yeah.
And that's why I'm so optimistic about the future,
yeah.
even with all the challenges that we've talked about, right?
Right.
This research is a reminder that even small steps can have a ripple effect.
Yeah.
And that when we prioritize inclusion and diversity, we all benefit.
I love that.
This deep dive has been incredibly eye-opening.
All that
and
way.
I have a feeling our listeners are like walking away
with a whole new perspective on the power of language and technology.
I certainly hope so, because ultimately the future of AI depends on our ability to embrace linguistic diversity and ensure that everyone has a voice in shaping that future.
And on that note,
we'll wrap up this episode of The Deep Dive.
Okay.
A huge thank you to our expert.
Oh, of course.
For like guiding us through this fascinating world of low resource languages.
My pleasure.
And the vital role they play in the future of AI.
Happy to be here.
And to all our listeners, thank you for joining us on this journey of discovery.
We'll catch you next time for another deep dive into the boundless world of knowledge.
Until then, keep exploring.